This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media. Just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on, fuck the 5-0, man, we gotta come.
Hello, Bill. All of our listeners out there tonight. You know, I got a couple messages for people, and I want to kind of emphasize this here quickly. Why do we keep doing this? Philip and I are veterans, but more important, we're American citizens. We're riding our motorcycle down American roads. Why should we be afraid to ride our motorcycles? Why should we be afraid of the police officers? Remember, the power they have is the power we give them. I'm not saying that we want you to go out and attack the police. I'm just saying, know your rights. Be more prepared like Philip and I are. Come on, man. It's our country, right? It's all about us.
That's true. But we'll get a couple things out of the way, Bill.
All
right. Got a few emails today, want to hear a little George Carlin.
There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucked, and it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed.
I'm sorry, but what this is called, Bill, is called the American Dream, and you have to be asleep to believe it, but we'll let George tell it.
It's never going
to
get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got, because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners. Politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American Dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
You know, I'm stuttering here for a second here because I'm thinking over and over and over, why do we allow this to happen?
I don't know.
Why are we getting involved with China? Why are we... Why? This is America. We want us to start taking care of ourselves. I'm asking everybody out there, buy American products. Save your job. You save your neighbor's job. I'm asking my government, stop sending rocket ships to the moon, to Uranus, anywhere else. I don't want to send no more. I want that money put back into America. I want that money put into creating jobs. I don't want to help the world anymore. I like the idea of isolationism. I want us to start taking care of ourselves. We are spending billions and trillions of dollars of trying to set up some type of a space station. Okay, let me think about this a little bit here. I don't mean to get on off base here, but right now in America, we got the Christians, and we got the Muslims, and we got the Jews. These are three races that are having the biggest problem with each other, I think, right now. We have the Christians, who are somewhat afraid of, I believe, the Muslims. We have the Muslims who hate the infidels. And I have no idea why everybody hates the Jews. I've never in my life figured that part out at all. I mean it sincerely. Okay, so we got this great planet here, Earth, and we're screwing it up every day. We're screwing it up every way possible, and we want to start sending stations up in outer planets. We're going to send some people to the moon? They're going to work up there? Who are we going to send? The Christians are fighting the Muslims now. Somehow everybody picks on the Jews. Again, I can't figure that out. Who the hell are we going to send? We can't send two Muslims, two Jews, and two Christians to the moon. We'll screw that up, too. Best thing to do is we stay here on Earth. We try to get some religious tolerance. We stop worrying so much what these churches and synagogues and temples tell us. Start following our own heart. My own opinion is the sun coming up or going down over the ocean is so beautiful, there's not a temple, synagogue, or church in the world as beautiful as that. We have control of all this, but in the name of religion, it's just getting more crazy every day. Think about this. Sending people to the moon to send a little station up there, we're just passing on hatred.
Yeah.
So I'm not telling anybody to change religion. I'm not telling anybody. I'm just saying be a little more tolerant to... For God's sakes, is that person next to you so different? Is there room for any type of dialogue, communication between two people? Dialogue.
You know, well, speaking of dialogue, here's a little dialogue that I got another request to hear this again, Bill. So this is by our friend, our Polonius Monk, and is talking to Obama.
Man, I ain't been here in a while, man, but it's too hot for me to get into it. I'm not going to do a lot of explanations today. It's going to be a straight stop it be. This is to the government, the United States government. Yo, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. How do you even approach the ceiling without knowing you're close to the ceiling? Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal. This isn't Democratic or Republican. This is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Oh! Don't even stop it, B. Stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balance. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying theirs. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you you motherfuckers gonna tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why it's 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only did y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking, I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
There you go. All right, we got that out of the way.
We got that. The reason we play this ago is because so many people keep contacting Philip and saying, man, listen, I want my friend to hear this. If people out there are regular listeners saying, God, I'm a little tired of hearing this, be a little tolerant. People keep asking us. I've got a friend that they've got to hear this. He's got a great point, but I don't want to burn out all of our listeners. So if
exactly.
he gets too much, let us know. But, folks, we play it because people keep saying, man, my friend's got to hear this. All right, let's talk about one quick thing here. Education. People around the world, all these foreign countries are sending people to America. Why? For education. Meanwhile, we have our own American children who are just going to school and doing it by the numbers and not taking advantage. There's only one thing in the world that you can get, and they can't take away from you. They take your money away, they take your life, they take everything. Can't take your education away from you.
Nope.
Why Americans are so easygoing and not worrying about it, and yet, again, we have people from every single country sending people here to America.
That's correct.
To get the best education. Our own kids aren't even paying attention. Boys and girls, listen. If you get a college education, if you can't do it, they can never take that away from you.
Nope.
But you got to be motivated. And American kids were not. You can't run home playing that damn video game every single night. Get out and do something out here.
Right. But Nora's unmuted. And,
Nora.
And Riel from Canada is unmuted.
Hey.
How you doing, brother?
Buddy.
How you doing?
Not bad, bro. Not bad.
What do you want to talk about today?
Well, before,
hang on a second.
Before we get into that, there's I got a thing in the mail, an email. It's called Going Home. Or I'm going home. To the veterans, to all the veterans who fought to keep us free, we sacrificed so much and who gave it all, for those who died and those who survived, thank you for listening and answering the call. Now, this video here is backed by music from Doherty. This video reminds us about a war being fought thousands of miles away. Those who fought are our husbands, wives, sons, daughters, aunts, uncles, friends, cousins. In the same way, those who have given their lives for our freedom and our family and friends. But more importantly,
yes,
the ones who perished had no freedom to choose their destiny.
Yes, we may not agree with the war or with the president. We may not want to think about why our young men and women in uniform were sent in the first place. But the fact remains, those who serve right now, wherever they serve, they made the choice to fight for our freedom. Freedom from terrorists who decided to boldly attack the once great nation, the United States of America. We were once great post-World War II. We're even greater after 9/11 because now we became united again. For months following the catastrophe, streets were lined with flags. Remember that, everybody? Cars were proudly wore bumper stickers and beeping the horn. Everybody's yelling, "United we stand." These colors won't run. As long as we are a country divided into right wing and left wing, or Christian or non-Christian, or black or white, we'll never be the country that won the fight against tyranny again. We have an opportunity. We just got to see the big picture, folks. But every veteran over here, every family that's got a son or daughter overseas, we cannot tell you how proud we are of the fact you have your son or daughter over there. I don't understand why they're over there fighting. I don't have to understand it. There's minds a lot better than I am to worry about that. We should all be proud. If you don't agree with the war, then protest it. Protest the president. Vote. Get another president. But do not do anything that blocks or adheres or any way possibly affects our sons and daughters fighting. Do nothing to affect our warriors. But if you don't like our president,
well, it's just
vote
like,
him out.
It's
right?
just like, yeah, it's just like we got to admit it, Bill. War is a dangerous and dirty business. But I'm thankful that there are people who are willing to take the risk and answer the call of duty like I did, you did.
No, I was drafted.
Well,
I know, I got to make a point there. You stepped up to the place. God bless you for that.
People who are willing to take the initiative to protect those in need, may God bless America, its allies, and the soldiers who do their work in building and maintaining our peace. I salute you all, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to play this song, and then we'll go to everybody and whatever we want to go from there. But I wanted to get this out. I wanted to take care of this one, too.
Young men and women make a decision to go they think is the right thing. Every now and then, for some strange reason, because I am against the war, because I don't understand the damn war, people assume that I'm nonviolent. People assume I'm a conscientious objector. Philip and I are not. nonviolent. We are not conscientious
objectors. Only when we need to be.
But we're not nonviolent. We are violent.
Yeah,
I want people to understand. People say, oh, these. I'm against police because I don't understand what's going on overseas. I want our young men and I want our young women home.
Shut up.
Those men and women that make the choices to go fight for our country, I support and I endorse that. I'm just saying that, for God's sakes, if you listen to me and you think, oh, Bill's not against violence, you got the wrong person there. There is a room in this world for violence. If you don't understand martial art, if you don't understand how to defend yourself, you don't belong in the world, because there's prey and predators. And unfortunately, the predators look for prey. You have to be able to take care of yourself. The fact that I'm against our young men and women coming home wounded. See, we're right here in California, right next to military bases. Not every day, but they come into my motorcycle shop. My brother Mike Kennedy, my cell phone, Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. These guys are coming in. Guy came in today. We're making a suicide for him. He's going to depress the clutch with his foot and shift with his hand. I'm working on with him. I got another guy that's got three fingers on his left hand, Philip. Thumb's gone, little finger's gone. So we're taking the clutch lever, and I'm flipping it backwards. So instead of going away from you, he's going to press in. We're working with our young men when every chance we get. I'm very proud of them. I'm proud of those men and women that decided to go on to Peacekeepers, that they think that they want to give. It takes a special person to give up their home to go do the right thing. Myself and Philip, I don't think we were so patriotic as the fact that we just, I won't say Philip, I just didn't know what was going on. I didn't really care. I felt that at 18 years old, if I'm going overseas, that's just the way it is. Did you have a great patriotic, or did you just felt your sense of duty, or did you feel, what did you feel about that mask?
I felt I didn't want to do 3 to 5, so I took the option they gave me.
Now, see, I wasn't going to go there with that. We all know that's true. But when I say he did join, but he had insinuating circumstances. Mm. Truly, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, they pried my fingers off the telephone poles and dragged me all the way up there. It was not high on my priority. However, when the shrink asked me, they said, you're on your way to combat and all that stuff. How do you feel about killing someone? And I said to him, well, this is so stupid. I'm 18 years old. If I killed anybody, I'd be in jail. Why are you asking an 18-year-old man about preparing himself for going to combat and about killing? I don't know what I was going to do. But I do know that I felt, and I'm getting a little deep here, but I felt that I owed my country something. I'm not crazy about my government. I'm going to protest my government. I'm going to try to make this a better country every day, every breath I breathe. But I felt I owed my country. This is why I went in there. In fact, I told them as a 2-year draftee, I will probably stay for 1 year and leave. He said, well, you got to do a year in combat and then you come back. I said, and do what? Guard the guardhouse, wash the dishes, walk the secure. Then none of that stuff made sense to me. I told them that if I die overseas, then everybody's problem is solved. If not, after my first tour, I may leave. Because I didn't think I owed them KP and guard duty and all that stuff. I felt, though, that as an American, we have a problem. We're overseas. I got to deal with it. I did my bit. Lucky for me, things worked out okay. That's the point I'm trying to make, is why not against violence. Violence is every day in your life. You don't have to be violent, but you have to prepare for the violent people.
That's correct.
Why people that say, well, you know, I'll turn the other cheek. They will smack you in your other cheek, you dipstick, if that hasn't happened to you already. You have to know where to draw the line in the sand. Yeah. You don't have to be a great fighter, like I've told you 100 times, but you've got to stand your ground, right, brother?
Right.
Not saying you haven't stood your ground for me many times, but we're saying to everybody, where do you draw the line? And if I can get a little historical, if they stopped Hitler way back in the day of when he invaded Poland, he never would have got that far.
No, not to switch gears on you, Bill, but I don't know if anybody knows, but 7 Marines were killed in Arizona in a helicopter collision.
Camp Pendleton.
It was right on the California border.
No, they're from Camp Pendleton, though, I thought.
Right, they were getting ready to leave for a deployment. But, the helicopters collided and 7 Marines lost their lives in honor of our country today.
People forget that training is just as hazard, dangerous.
That's correct.
Because you're training for the real thing, and accidents happen. So we have seven families that mothers and fathers have lost their children. Brothers and sisters have lost their brothers. Cousins have lost everybody. But this was a choice these young men made.
Right.
So respect them for that.
Right.
I'd say whether or not I argue with the government. But I don't argue with our military.
No, and I
applaud our military, sir.
And I want to bring in one person that called, and I'm very surprised that he called, Bill. But I want to, Nora and Riel, we'll hold on for a second. I want to bring this guy in real quick. You guys, this is a friend of ours. Hello, Todd.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, it's just Todd Chaney.
Yeah. How'd you know I was listening? I didn't press the warn button. You must have good ears. I was agreeing with the United States with the wars. You know, we're going to pull out of Afghanistan here in the next year or two, but we're going to be right into the Iranian war at the rate we're going. So we go from one war for 10 years, and we're going into another war, probably in Iran.
Yeah.
Todd, may I ask you a little bit about, I was talking about the need, there's predators and prey in this world. You have to learn to draw a line in the sand. You have to stand up to evil. Regarding violence and regarding self-discipline and training, how do you feel about that, sir?
All those are true. Read The Art of War. The book speaks for itself. You have to be able to defend yourself from predators, and they're always going to be out there. That's part of evolution. Like tonight, I'm going to go kickboxing, full contact sparring, and then afterwards I'll do MMA training. But I'm an old man. I'm 47 years old, so I still got to keep myself clean, you know, competitive, and you know, get the dust off. But there's a time and place for everything, and you definitely be able to defend yourself and not become the prey.
You know, I never told you this, Todd. I've never told you this. This is a good time to tell you on the air. You kicked me in the sternum about 2 years ago. It took 4 months for that sternum to stop hurting. I wouldn't show you any type of pain there. If you remember that day, you kicked me in the sternum, and I never told you once. That son of a bitch took 4 months before that pain went away. One kick from you in my sternum. Do you remember that?
I remember. It was pretty light. I'm surprised, but I called it. So I'm sorry for
that. Yeah, you
man.
Did before that. And I just didn't think you could do that much pain. Every time I breathe in, I go, oh, shit. But
yeah,
I'm over that now. I'm okay, you no good, rotten, blah, 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 blah.
All that love, huh?
Yeah, I'm a bastard. I'm beating up an old man. That doesn't say much for me.
Oh, he called you old.
I know.
We all are.
Todd, we have Nora on the radio. She's from Chicago. And we have Riel, who's out of Canada. And,
good.
How you doing?
The regulars on the show. And,
hey, guys,
we're kind of like worldwide. But, and I told you when I talked to you earlier, if you want to call in and plug your business, go ahead and do that.
Okay.
And let me tell you, ask you about your businesses, of course, is I-5 Bail Bonds there in North County. You're a bail agent? Is that what they call your title? And is this martial art training something you need in your business, Todd?
No, I've been doing that long before. I just do that for fun. I've been doing that since I was probably like 16 years old, doing MMA fighting and kickboxing. So, and my business is good to have, though, because I get to deal with all different types. But if you treat people like you want to be treated, you normally never have to go down that road. But 3% of the time, they don't want to go along with you, so you have to be able to defend yourself. Or taser them. It works perfectly.
Well, you know, hey, Todd, I just ordered a bunch of shirts. They're going to be coming in here pretty soon. But what the front says, I'll let you tell it, Bill.
Oh, hang on a second.
I
just put my glasses down.
You're going to enjoy this, and I'll make sure that you get it. I'll make sure that you get a large shirt, Todd.
All right.
Large.
Hang on,
Brad.
Let's get there right now. Sure. I have the right to remain silent. I do not have to answer any questions. Anything I can say and will be... What the heck is that?
Anything I say can and will be used against me in a court of law.
Okay, and I'm not going to tell you a fucking thing. That's a T-shirt he's going to be wearing now. Can you believe that?
Okay, where do we get them?
Philip's going to take care of all that, let you know.
Okay.
Listen, for our worldwide audience, I just want to kind of paint a picture of my good friend Todd. Todd, can you tell us a little bit where you live, and if you don't mind for a second?
Okay.
I don't mean to embarrass you, Todd, but that's where you live.
Yes, sunny California in Carlsbad, by the beach or on the beach. I'm a local boy. Lived here my whole life, and I'm lucky my parents had sex here and never moved away because this is all I know.
Ain't this the shit, ladies and gentlemen? The guy's well-trained, well-educated, rides a couple of motorcycles, been to many, many, many trips with me, always keeps his composure, lives on the beach, lives a good life. And say, don't you have a Corvair or something, too?
Corvette. Yeah, I got a 59 Corvette. And
oh, Corvette. I'm sorry. There must be penis envy in my part when I called it a Corvair. What year is your Corvette, sir?
59, old school gangster style.
Oh, nice.
I hope everybody's out there listening for Mr. Todd Cheney, martial art training, Harley Davidson, lives down the beach, lives in Carlsbad, California, and rides a beautiful Corvette.
Oh, I got a 57 T-Bird, too.
But, oh, yes, yes. He's got several cars, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, life is not fair to all of us, but my good friend Todd Cheney, he's living a good life. Living a damn good life.
Gas off, and you can have it all, too. Work 6-7 days a week, you'll make the money, trust me. Key to success.
And you know, a good point I want to make, too, is to our friends out there listening that you have backed me up on several occasions the past decade, many occasions when we've been highly outnumbered, and you never backed down once. I've always appreciated that. Maybe it's a good time on air I say thank you for that, sir, because if you had one brain in your head, you would have left me alone out there. You didn't. Many occasions you came right in way over our head. And
well,
get
I know you
emotional, but you know what? Thank you, brother. Thank you for that.
Oh, no. I protect good guys, and you're a good guy, and they're a bunch of thugs. You know? So I'd probably lose a fight. There was quite a few of them, but I can at least take 3 or 4 with me.
Well, by our numbers, if we took 3 or 4 and I took 1, we still would have had a shitload of them left. But you and I have done several occasions where we've got through that. So I want people to understand the well-roundedness of you, kind of Renaissance man, well-educated, good money, doing a good business. Because when you go to jail, you get arrested, you want to get out of jail. And a lot of people don't know what to do. So by calling somebody like Todd Cheney at I-5 Bail Bondsman in San Diego here, he's saying to people, hey, let me help you out. You get a good friend of yours, and they get thrown in jail with something like a DUI, and they call you for help. Most of us don't know what to do. You better know a good person like my friend Todd Cheney here. Pick up the phone and say, get me the blankety blank out of here. Do something. You need to know his reassuring voice. Hey, we're going to take care of us. I hope everybody, no matter what state or country you're in, has got a friend like my friend Todd says, we're going to deal with it. Don't worry about it. Get me the blankety blank out of jail.
Now, I'm only licensed to write bail in the state of California. I don't go to Arizona, Texas, nothing like that. Just California, so I do the whole
state. That's today, Todd. Thinking about tomorrow, the big picture. I-5 bail bondsman worldwide tomorrow.
There you go.
Wow. I like it here. That's too much work, man. I got enough work here. We got a lot of clients.
Well, we got Nora sitting out there. Nora, if you were in a lot of trouble, wouldn't you want Todd to come out and kind of use his expertise, his firm hand, to help you along?
Well, yeah. I wouldn't know anybody else.
Todd, you hear that?
Yeah. Give me a call.
And you will come to Chicago?
I've never been to Chicago, but I can probably find you somebody out there.
It's not hard.
Listen, Chicago's for the people who are just, for the people who are restricted, Todd, I know you're fighting because you don't want to give a sales pitch or a commercial, but tell us a little bit on the air how people can read about you. They can contact your business. How can they reach you, brother?
Just type in i5bailbonds.com or call 760-877-1300. And I usually answer the phone all the time. If I don't, I'm taking a nap or sleeping. But, guys, I got to cut this loose. I'm going to go in and go sparring right now. So I'll give you guys a call later. Have a good night.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks.
For our good friends out there, yes, we have attorneys. Why? Because we need attorneys. Do we have bail bondsmen? Yes, we do also. Why? Because we need them, too. It's just our lifestyle. Who's up there, brother?
Oh, well, I'll be darned.
She says, hello, Mr. Kennedy.
We have a friend of ours. She's not going to talk, though, right?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'm hoping she just heard that, she just heard Todd. I'll be darned. I have a very, very good friend of mine. I don't want to say an old friend of mine because she's not old. But how's this for, listen, everybody, how's this for huevos? I take trips down into Mexico. I did a 500-mile trip into mainland Mexico. This girl, friend of ours, got a motorcycle. A lot of people ragging her about, oh, blah, 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 little girl riding around, shit. She went on a 500-mile ride with me in 24 hours, partied with us for 3 days down in Mexico, drove 500 miles home. We pulled into a bar. My ass hurt. Everything about me hurt. I was tired.
Well, it's because you're old.
In front of the whole bar, she said to everybody, that was fun. Let's do it again. I had a grown man, outlaw, club people, all sitting there going, I would never go that far, Mr. Kennedy. Little petite girl, all that far back. Her name is Marion. And she's not going to come in here, but I want everybody to know her name. What a class act for a lady.
Well, she might come in. You know, the call-in number, Bill, is 347-826-7753.
Well, Marion, why don't you step in for a second? Say hello to some of our friends. Because I like strong women role models.
She said that fancy we should be talking to Todd right now.
Well, Marion, just, you know, relax, take it easy, take your clothes off, pick up the phone, call us. You'll feel a lot better.
Yeah, you know, we got another naked,
right? It's a naked show tonight.
For the women, just for the women, please. You know. In fact, we might make Thursday night naked women show only with that. I think so.
Now you're talking, Bill.
She will. She come.
I was saying hello. She's not going to call in, Bill.
She's not going to call. I want everybody to listen to her. You know, I think that's a class act again. A girl that gets a motorcycle, and by the way, I taught her how to ride the motorcycle. She bought a motorcycle. He said, "Bill, I don't know." So
she said she can't help it that you're not tech savvy or aren't tech savvy.
Marion, I'd like to hear your voice. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see characters and figures. I want to hear your voice. Anyway, I taught this lady how to ride a motorcycle within about a week or so, and I put her through a rough boot camp. Then she went a 500-mile drive through mainland Mexico. That's pretty classy. A lot of men would not have the huevos to go down to Mexico with Screwdriver and I. Marion's a class act. We have a lot of strong ladies with us out here in California, though. Although, they're not as brave as my friend Nora, who calls us and talks to us.
Well, you know, Bill, actually, Nora is...
She's naked. Nora naked now? Nora, do you have any clothes on at all now?
We're not going there.
Being there, Nora?
What?
You know, a glass of wine, or, you know, Nora, a glass of warm milk. Sitting back in the recliner, naked, relaxed, you know what?
I don't have a recliner.
Well,
go with the flow here.
Just go with the images.
No, I'm on my bed. How's that?
Oh, that's perfect. What a picture.
There we go.
I'm being honest. Sorry. I'm already there.
Oh, you're a sweetheart, Nora.
Get on the bed. I like that thought with that. Is it warm out? Nora, what's the weather like?
I actually have a bottle of water. Huh?
Weather like today?
We're supposed to get a foot of snow.
No. Oh.
But it was 50.
Oh, okay. Well,
and it changed within a couple of hours.
It was just gorgeous like that. You know, I'm going to ask everybody just stop for 15 seconds, please. I want everybody to just close their eyes and think, and let's all try to visualize Nora naked on the bed.
Oh, my God, here we go.
Everybody.
I already done it, Bill. Bill? Man, you painted a hell of a picture, Nora. I love you.
I didn't do nothing.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, for the team. We appreciate that.
That's right.
One for the team. Here we go.
Actually, Nora, I don't know if you were listening to my friend Todd Chaney. I've got some, for myself being a very boring person, I have some very extraordinary friends, stand-up people, amazing. And I noticed that the more that they are martial art, he is a cage fighter, and he's a promoter. But I've got some Navy SEALs, too. I have some people that are so well-trained in violence that they are
quiet, pacifist.
Right.
They drink, but they don't drink to excess. They drink for pleasure. They speak. They don't yell at people. I have an amazing amount of people that have learned the fact that there's no reason to be afraid. That's why I tell people training is important. Or get a gun. I don't know. Either one will do the same thing, I guess. You can't just allow people to bully you. There has to be a point in time, and as I know, Phillips heard this. I was in 100 fights, 100 bar fights. I think some people have heard this. 100 bar fights.
Yeah,
I lost 99 of them.
And that girl beat the hell out of you.
No, that girl, I won that fair and square. It's not my fault. She showed up drunk. That's the one fight I won.
You know, anyone I was ever in, it was always the men coming at me. I'm only 5'2". I'm like, really? And these were like 6 feet tall men. I'm like, well, come on, bring it. But then they walked away.
Not a man. That's not a man. I have had, I am married, but I've had so many wonderful ladies in my life, and I've told every one of them that being together is like dialogue, communication. We have to speak back and forth. If you raise your hand to me, I will knock you out. And this is not violence on my part, but I will not allow myself to be bullied and beaten by somebody. If I have to raise my voice to you, we should stop the relationship. And I also believe I want everybody to follow this. If your spouse comes home and they're in a bad mood, go out for a cup of coffee. My theory is you can't have an argument if only one person's in the house. But for you men out there that continue to allow yourself to be beaten, stop it. Just stop it. It doesn't make any sense. For you women, let a man beat you. What's the old saying? If he hits you one time, shame on him. If he hits you two times, how's the rest of that go, anybody?
Shame on you.
Shame on the woman.
Yeah.
Any woman lets a man hit her and says, he didn't mean it. Oh, shit. Of course, he meant to hit you idiot. That's a red flag. Pack up and leave. One time.
Right on,
Respect Bill. Has to be communication. It's got to be both ways.
That's right.
Do not let anybody strike anybody. But for the men again, you've got to know how to take care of yourself. Martial art training is excellent for the women, too. But day-to-day philosophy, sometimes you just run into bullies.
Yeah.
You got to stop them. Well, I never stopped them. I slowed them down, but I never was able to stop anybody. I am a really bad fighter. Really, really bad fighter. Some people got training. Some people got talent. It's not my style. In fact, when I was in the fourth grade, my father had me in boxing. Fourth grade, everybody. And after the first round was over, I'm sitting in the corner. I want you to hear this. This is important. My father said to me, Bill, is it your plan to have him or to allow him to keep hitting you in the face until his arm gets tired? Now, who the hell tells that? Who the hell tells that to your fourth grade kid in boxing? But even then, I guess I wasn't that good a fighter. Who do we got on there? Who's on the phone here?
We got Real and Nora. And,
well, we got Nora. Yeah, we talked to Nora a little bit there, but what's Real?
Yeah, Real.
Real. Real, what do you want to talk about tonight?
What burning desire do you have?
Yeah,
buddy?
Pick a subject, please, because I'm bored.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, Real here. Phil, Bill, Nora, how you doing?
Keep it clean. Fine.
Yeah, I know Bill touched many, many subjects that are very, very close to the heart here today. And, I mean, they have to be addressed. You got your government, you got religion, you got street fights, you got bullying, everything. I mean, the economy. It's just going to pot in a handbasket. It's things are really messed up right now. But you have to stay strong. And Bill focused on that. His friend Steve, Todd, me and him would get along really good. I got 22 years of kickboxing myself. So, and you were saying that on a few occasions, he backed you up. Maybe you should hire me and him to be your bouncer, brother.
Well, he's a big club problems, big thing. Big. Man would not force you to step aside, but he wouldn't step one inch off the side if he thought he was being threatened.
No, I respect that, and I could hear it in his voice. Very easygoing guy, a lot of control. I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got to have that. You got to have easygoing in one pocket, ready to kill in the other, and love in the other one. It takes the three. You know, you got to carry yourself like a human being, but ready to fucking kill one if they come at you.
Exactly.
Plain and simple. I mean, brotherhood, family, is that's the key to it all, to everything. You know, it. You remember, I mean, we're the same age, Bill, Phil, and we used to walk down the street without a worry in the world. Get on your bike, you're talking about a foot clutch, 1943 flathead. I had that when I was 17 years old. And I'll tell you, you jump on that bike, nobody bothered you. There was no Muslim bullshit, no Catholic bullshit. You went where you wanted, when you wanted. Where in the hell did those days go?
I want to react to that statement because you said something very close to my heart. I'll tell you where those days went to. In the late 60s and early 70s, we could go where we wanted, do what we wanted to do. When the motorcycle clubs of today discover the value and profit in selling drugs and weapons, when the street gangs started doing drugs and weapons, the word brotherhood went out. The major bike clubs I know across the world, I'm not talking just local, across the world, when these organizations, the big boys, start selling drugs, selling weapons, I saw people snitching on each other. I saw people turning. For the love of almighty money, it changed. For all the people that were alive and got to ride their motorcycles in the late 60s and very early 70s, you know and I know it was a special time in our life. God damn drugs killed the word brotherhood for me.
Yeah, I'm with you there 100%. I don't touch the shit. You know, I just beat cancer. I had 9 years of it, and I'm cancer-free now. But that's the only meds I ever took. I don't do street drugs. I mean, I played with it when I was younger. Of course, I'd be a liar not to say. But it woke me up. I dabbled. But it didn't fuck my life. I raised two kids by myself. I own two homes, two beautiful cars, three bikes. My children are fantastic. My son's 26. He speaks four languages. He's a teacher at the University of Calgary for political sciences and law. Think about that. Raised by a fucking crazy son of a bitch like me. Because I knew which...
Well, you know, I told Bill I believe in reincarnation. And he asked me, well, what would you come back as? I told him I wanted to come back black, a woman, and a lawyer. I'd have it made.
Yeah, you'd be well taken care of, I guess, eh? But, I mean, we got to look at everything, the whole picture, not half of it, not what you want to look at, what is thrown at you. That's the thing. People see a picture, but there's no fucking frame to it. Put the frame around it, man. Really look at where you're going, what's happening around you. Make that harsh decision. You either fight for your life or coward and hide under a rock. Not this, brother. No fucking way.
One thing that's important, too, there's a statement, who packs your parachute?
Exactly.
Some people, wait, what I meant, some people saying, I don't understand that at all. You're going to jump off an airplane, somebody else has prepared your parachute, you're going to jump with, you hope it's all together. That's also your safety net on the street. Do you have brothers and sisters you can trust? Do you have a network, a safeguard? I do, I hope everybody does. That's when I say, who packs your parachute? If you don't
exactly.
have the right people around you, get rid of them.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with the right people.
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I was talking to Phil about that earlier. I got a beautiful support group supporting 81, and I'll tell you, these guys are a really good net for each other. Maybe a few of them don't ride, whatever, don't matter to me. But, you know, I rode my whole life. But the point is they got a family going. They're really tight. They love each other. And, you know, if you don't have that in your life, you have it on cyberspace, on Facebook, it don't matter. At least you got something. Now work with it. Make it your family. Go out and meet these people face to face. You never know what the outcome's going to be. That's the beautiful thing. You go to Sturgis, you get there. Brothers and sisters everywhere, man. Fuck the goddamn campers, mind you. But you go in there with an attitude of, let's have a good time. And you do. You meet everybody. You push people out of the way to get to that person. You walk out of there with a sunburn, a beer in your hand, and a fucking smile. You can walk in there and get killed. Outlaws against EHA, bullets flying everywhere. Been there, seen it. Who cares? Dodge the fucking bullets. Bullets are going to come at you for the rest of your life. You know, hard times, whatever. Don't necessarily have to be a high-velocity, full metal jacket. But life is a hard place. So stand up for yourself, kick some fucking ass, love yourself, love your family, and ride.
I like the way you're talking. I like the way you're talking. We don't ask for everybody to be troublemakers. I don't ask people to be gangsters and thugs. Just don't step aside.
No, at all.
On people, step aside.
Exactly, Bill. You got it. You got
it. Fight with me a second time. I swear to God, I tell everybody, I don't ask anybody to be a great fighter. I don't want anybody. Don't you leave me. You stand up, hold your own ground. If not, you ride with somebody else. That's all I ask.
That's it. That's the key to life, man. You got to enjoy yourself. You have to. You want to die, you know, lonely and curl your toes and no smile on your face? Not this guy. If I know I'm dying, I want to be on my bed with my family with a big smile on my face. Say, you know what? What a fucking ride. Wow.
This afternoon at my brother Mike Kennedy and myself's motorcycle shop, I had three guys from Scandinavia in today. And two of them, one of them spoke fairly good English, all on the Harley Davidsons. One of them spoke a little bit, one of them didn't speak shit. And I said to the one that spoke the good English, to speak to the gentleman that spoke no English. And I said, are you worried about anything at all? Translation came back, he said, fuck no. I'm here. I'm having a great time. They're bikers. I'm happy. Through the translation and all that. Here's a guy all the way across the world. He's in California. He's loving it. Can't speak nothing. We're on Harley Davidson. That's all he needs to know. That's what it's all about, you know?
Exactly. That is a beautiful thing, man. You got to respect that. The guy don't care. He'll ride his bike through a fucking cement wall if he has to get to the other side. I love that, man. You know, I wish everybody thought the way we did. You know, get that experience. A lot of people out there talk, but they don't have the experience to really understand what we're talking about a lot of times. I talk to a lot of nice young guys, nice women, try to teach them what I know. I love to teach people about my experiences. I'm writing a book right now, Commando, the history or the life of a child. And,
you're going Commando? Is that what you said?
Street Commando, yeah. Because I was a little white kid. I was a little white boy, spoke no English, stuck in Detroit, Michigan, in the middle of a racial war after Martin Luther King, fighting the language barriers, fighting the African American. It was insane. Like, crazy. Like, you couldn't have put a child in a worse fucking position in your life. But I'm here. I'm alive. And I got things to say. And I got things to teach. And it's in me to do that. I teach everybody as much as possible. Don't do it. Do it. Don't go there. If you want to, that's your problem. But I'm telling you, it's not worth it. So listen to me. Or else I'll just shut my mouth and watch you fucking explode. I don't give a shit. But I do care. That's the point.
Every now and then somebody comes to me and says, Bill, I've got a bad history. I've got a bad past. And I tell everybody, we are all like jigsaw puzzles. All these pieces have to come together to see who I am today. My good experiences, my bad experiences, my family, my money, everything. I am today a product of all these instances in my life. I have to weigh the good times with the bad times to make who I am. But there's so many different pieces that not everybody can understand my past. I don't want everybody to know my past. But all these things together make me who I am. And that's where I try to tell people, you don't dwell in the negative. All right, you did something in your past, that's it. Now work on the positive. It'll balance your life out.
Exactly my point. That's exactly, you think just like me, Bill, and I love that. You know, that is, and I'll tell you right now, I can tell. I've never met you personally, but I know by your voice and your heart, the way you speak, you're a teacher as well. You'd love to point at somebody and go, listen, man, been there, done it, don't do it. You know, I've learned, I've... You step in shit once before you know it smells. You burn your finger once, you know it's going to burn. Okay? You're a teacher, Bill. You're a man of expertise. You've lived. You're a good husband, I'm sure. You probably got children, not sure.
Oh, yeah, children, grandchildren. You know, we have another caller that wants to get in to jump and say something to you, to us, I guess. Caller 336, do you want to jump in this conversation?
Absolutely.
Please jump in. Say hello to everybody, please.
How is everybody tonight?
Not bad, yourself?
I'm doing well, real. You know me. We're on the same support site. You told me about this show.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
yeah.
I got a lot of people, man, all rallied up around this show now. I've been
doing
that
for a few
days. Yeah, I'm
working on it. We post some stuff, so... No, y'all guys are all right about this tonight. You know, a long time ago, well, not a long time ago, about a year ago, I tore my left Achilles tendon.
We want to know who you are. Where are you calling from? We don't know these things.
Oh, you know,
share everybody.
Well, I talked to you last Tuesday, but I was a little lit up. But I'm not lit up tonight.
All right.
I'm from North Carolina. We live up in the mountains. We have the distinguished... thing of having the only county in the United States that has a mountain range entirely in its borders. And what we do up here, I can't ride anymore, and I'm almost 60. And my fist fighting days are over. But I belong to a group of some people up here. We kind of like to prep and do things like this. And we have a philosophy, and it's really very simple, that everybody can do something. There's nobody that's helpless. If you got a guy that's blind, he can listen. He can click a radio. You know, the whole philosophy, I'm going to post this next week, a link to this monograph called On Sheep, Wolves, and Sheepdogs by Colonel Grossman. He gave it as an address at Annapolis to the graduating class, and it's just what you're talking about tonight. And I think you guys would like that a lot. You can't back down from stuff. Everybody, when they talk about the Second Amendment, it's a big discussion on TV every two or three years. They always leave out the part about how the weapons that they want to ban aren't made for deer hunting. They're made to protect us from them. They don't like to talk about that part. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they won't either, William.
No, they never will. But I just, you know, I learned a lot from you guys last week, and I'm maybe not quite on the intellectual level that some of you guys are, but I appreciate what you're doing, and I just want to call in and say, hey, chime in on that, and I'd just like to sit and listen and learn now, but I really appreciate you having me on again.
Well,
you know,
Brother William, man, I'm glad I got you on and got you talking here, man. It's good because Phil and Bill and Nora and I and everybody else is listening to you, understand your situations, and the best to you, and come back to the show shit, man. No problem.
I'm going to be here every time, man. I appreciate it. Everybody have a safe evening.
This is Bill. This is our show.
Yeah.
So if you ain't in it, we ain't in it. It's us together. We're talking about what's going on in your state, how it's going to affect our state. I just saw Nora. Oh, look at this here. She's taking her clothes off too now.
You're on the bed, and now you don't have no clothes.
And,
there we go.
This
is good.
Nora says we're all going commando now.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, last week she was just wearing boxers, and the whole panel was just losing their minds. You can imagine what's going to happen now.
Well, now. And now I got my good friend Marion, Maid Marion, and she's on the bed at her house, and she's naked now. Good for you, Marion. Good for you.
The way to be. Nobody can see
you.
Well,
I can't be comfortable, right, you know?
Not unless if we Skype.
And I'm sitting here alone with clothes on. What the
Thank
hell's
God.
The problem here?
Well, Bill's sitting with Phil.
I got to get on the bike, put some chains on, set up a fucking ski system, hit the snow, and go find me a little woman because, man, Laura, you're bad.
No, I was just joking.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're getting
I'm not
me all worked up.
Actually, sit there and say what I'm doing.
You're getting me worked up anyways. It don't matter.
Oh, God, I haven't done nothing.
Yeah, but
well, you know, since you guys are getting all worked up and stuff. Hang on.
Yeah, play a song.
You guys are getting all worked up and stuff. Bill and I are going to take a little break. We're going to play a song for you.
Because we're getting worked up, too. Is that why?
Exactly.
I'm not worked.
Hey, no funny business in the studio over there.
ACDC doing what, Philip?
A little touch too much.
I hope you know this one.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
right. Remember what they say, if it's too loud, you're too old. Now, what was the, was that Highway to Hell? Is that the album?
No,
anybody know?
That's Too Much.
Yeah, that's the Not Too Much album.
Not Too Much, yes, yes. Thank you very much for that. You know, I want to correct something very quickly. We'll have everybody. I get this an awful lot. Why does Bill talk all the time and Screwdriver doesn't talk all the time or talk as much? Philippe has to handle the control board, the phones. He's got to do all the stuff going on. So every now and then he's giving me a sign, meaning just leave him alone because he's got to keep us straight. So there's nothing shy about Philip. But he's got to keep everybody together. My job is, oh, I don't have a job. I just talk to you
well,
people.
Well, I got,
friends.
Oh, wait.
Your job is just to teach us. There you go.
Well, yeah,
I've got a firm hand for you, little girl.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Bill, the other day on the last show, Phil was just talking up a storm. The guy's not shy. He had the buttons going, man, the microphone going, had us laughing, took care of everything. Very proud of him. He did a great job.
Are you sure without me he did all that?
Well, he might have hired
somebody.
He's
done a lot without you, Bill.
Anything,
I'm sorry.
Because can't do without me. I've been telling that shit for years. He believes it. Oh, my God. Well,
he just got an ego boost now, man. An ego boost, you see.
Like Sonny and Cher will split up.
Actually, it's kind of hard. If Nora wasn't helping me on Tuesdays, they'd shut us down.
Wait a minute. Nora, you don't take your clothes off on Tuesday, do you? Nora?
I don't say what I wear anymore, but I will say this. I'm always on my bed.
Well, you know,
Nora, I don't want to hear of anything impropriety going on Tuesday. Thursday's show is quite appropriate, but I don't really want to find out that anything's going on with you and Philip behind my back, all right?
Oh, no. See, Art brought up, you know, that fine men's holiday thing, so we had to chime that in, you know, so Art felt better, you know, and he already scored me, well, not scored me, but he already, like, told me to behave for the night.
Oh, okay.
That was on the Hermes show. He told me to behave.
Our
I said,
friends
I
know.
Do.
We're going to try to do a little party on Saturday. I want you to let our friends know what's going on.
Well, actually, Bill, it's Emilio Rivera. It's his birthday.
And who is he?
He is. He plays the president of the Mayans on the Sons of Anarchy, Bill.
That's
and
correct.
We're invited to his birthday parties. Yep,
excellent.
LA.
Yeah, we're such snobs. We're going to run around with a birthday party with TV stars. Yeah, we'll probably sit all the way in the back. They don't let us up real close or anything. Oh, all kidding aside, we will be, you know.
We don't get that here in Chicago.
Yeah, I know. California, we're so rotten. We're spoiled. It really is amazing.
Yeah, I know. You guys are.
I tell you what I really wish I could share with all you is our Mexican adventures, though. In America.
Actually, we can't do that, Bill.
Well, no, we can't, I know.
We're sworn to secrecy on that.
I know,
they just
I know.
Have to participate.
I know,
find out.
I know.
Yeah, might as well leave that well alone, eh?
Because there's a few things that go on, and one of the things that goes on, it's called the skull ceremony.
But you have to be there for...
Right.
But
yeah,
it has to do with
me. We don't need to know.
It has to do up on a high
What's
stage...
Give us an idea of what you're talking about. I've been to Mexico.
No.
Oh, yeah, just a little tad here.
No. Respect the privacy.
Oh, okay.
No, well, here, I'll give you a little tad.
You can't keep a secret.
No.
I can. He can't.
Oh, God, my Lord.
Why do you think Tuesdays are out of control?
Yeah, but it's just pure honesty that comes out of my mouth, my love. You know.
No, I was talking about Phil.
Oh, yeah, Phil, yeah. He's a crazy son of a bitch.
Let me put it this way. Okay, Bill?
I'm saying nothing.
The skull ceremony, this is what happens. We pick one guy who's the king. We pick...
You're telling a lot of information.
One woman who's the queen. That's all I'm telling him, Bill.
All right.
Fill in the
we
gap.
We do have a high... And last time we were lucky enough to bring Carlos Santana's cousin... is actually in Tijuana, and his band was up on stage doing all the Carlos Santana's songs and all that. It was a very good band and all that, but it's a lot of fun.
Sounds great.
Well, we can't tell you, and so Don't share anymore. All
right. That's fine.
No, now the rest of it goes to the vault.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah. Now,
you
know what? If
so
I get you up on
tomorrow,
stage,
Bill. Where are we going now?
Sage, you'll put it in your memoirs. I promise you, dear.
Okay. Now teach us some more. Where are we going? Oh, now I, you know, they are passing the thing on the drones. You know that.
On the drones, yes. We wake up one day, they're going to be over listening to us. They first said that we wouldn't have to worry about that in America. They're everywhere.
Oh, yeah, they're doing it now.
I can justify if we have lost people in the Rocky Mountains, with snow slide or avalanche, I can see sending them out there, but that's not going to happen. Or maybe that's just the tip of it. We're going to have them over our houses, over our business, over our gatherings.
They're already over us. We just don't
know. That's
it.
Absolutely true, dear. Absolutely true.
They're doing it to us here in Canada as well, Bill.
I hope they don't have night vision. No.
They do have night vision.
They got heat seekers too, Nora.
They
You're
got
trouble.
Heat seekers, night vision. They got everything. Hey, I'm in the mountains,
man. I know.
I live in the Canadian Rocky Mountains, right on the BC and Montana border, and they got mini drones the size of cigarette packs. They're like little bugs, and they're everywhere.
Yep.
They're everywhere. They're just scouting everything, all security purposes. Oh, it's just in case. Get the hell out of here with that. Man, I had one hovering over my house. I had 16 bikes in front of the house. I had a big pig roast. And two of them went by. Nice and slow. Not normal speed, just nice and slow. You don't think they're snapping pictures and shit? Definitely.
I want to tell you about Canada, if I can. I'm very uncomfortable being in Canada. The Canadian people are wonderful. The scenery is wonderful. The government and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and... It's like I'm not comfortable there. I'm more happy in Mexico where everything is illegal and crooked and I can deal with that stuff. Canada, it's just the police just give me bad vibes. Now, is this my imagination or how do you feel about this?
Well, it's not your imagination, brother, because I'll tell you, those guys are pushing the limit. They will push you to the point of you just want to take their gun and pop them one. I got pulled over for my helmet, a little scully, and there was a big thing going on. It's called Thunder in the Valley. It's one of the biggest shows with explosions and firecrackers and shit. And I got pulled over by one police, an RCMP, and all of a sudden there was four unmarked cops with two cops in each car. So there's nine cops. They all get out of the car for me. Looking at my bike, seeing everything works. Your helmet's not legal, which I pack a legal one anyways. So I take the scully off. Not that I should have, but I did. I didn't need the bullshit. But I got tagged $280. Put on the safety helmet, the normal helmet, go for a ride, get pulled over again. Because the cop told the other cop, oh, he's on his bike, he's coming towards you. I got pulled over again. Three more cops in a matter of half a mile. I was pissed, and this ain't the first time. They do that to everybody. No, they push the limit, and they bring you to a breaking point. Phil and I discussed that before. I mean, you guys are being tested by your government to the point of pure idiocy. You know?
Well, we get tested in our town all the time, don't we, Bill?
Well, I think it's Canada that's a tough egg to crack, though.
Well,
my brother recently went up there.
The other tough egg to crack was you could never find a woman to tell you why they didn't wear socks.
Oh, no. I hope you guys are in that.
It took you 2 years to get that girl in Canada to tell you why she wore socks to bed.
Does everybody know that story?
No.
No, please share.
Hey, that goes in the vault too there, Nora. Forget it.
Wait, I only wore socks to bed once because it was really cold here. You know, and it was
all right. I'm a very shy person, and I don't have a lot of experience with Canadian women anyway. And so I met this Canadian girl. We went to bed, and she didn't take her socks off. This is down here in Southern California. But obviously, hey, what do I know? She saved it for the marriage. I didn't know. So a couple years go by, and I meet another girl from Canada. Same scenario. We go back to bedroom. She don't take her socks off. And, of course, my mind's elsewhere, so what the hell do I care? It wasn't until later I find out that the Canadian floors are so cold that not everybody's got heated floors.
Well, actually, Bill, that woman said, because my fucking feet are cold.
Yeah. And I said, you're in California. But I have, since then, I have to say that I've had some very nice Canadian women offer me to come up. So if I want to sleep with them, they would take their socks off. And I thought that was awful Christian of them. You think so, brother?
Sure.
The Canadian women have sent messages down to me. I do thank you very much. And I did not know, but they said the floors are that cold, that's why they wore socks. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
In fact, we got somebody that's probably going to call in here, Bill.
Some Canada girl's got to call in somewhere now. They're yelling at me, something like that, yeah.
Because
you started something with the women now, boy.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just waiting. Let's get some others on the panel here, and let's get the party started.
Yeah, Bill.
You know, Bill...
Now, sometimes just misunderstood.
I want to give a little plug to our friend Anastasia at Harley-Davidson in Sweetwater in National City, California. But
yeah.
I also wanted to say...
Well, let's talk about the fact her and her mother own that dealership.
That's correct. And we're going to have the biker breakfast there by the final option on the 4th of March.
Oh, that's too far. March, too far away for like that. Yeah, but just quick mention that because you said that here is an authorized dealership with a mother and daughter as the owners. Two Greek ladies... Greek American Bay ladies, and two women have their own authorized dealership, a mega store. That's kind of classy.
God bless you.
And the mother also, Mariana. They used to ride with me to Mexico an awful lot, but they're kind of worried about what's going to happen down there. But why are we giving them a plug? What do you say?
They're going to have the biker breakfast like they always have on Sundays.
Oh, that's with Howie's Club, right?
That's correct.
The final option.
Right. We're
going down for breakfast?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
We have a caller from 514, Bill.
514, jump in, please. Tell us who you are, where you're from, please.
It's Kitty Cat from Canada.
Canada? Oh, God.
You
oh, man. But, yeah, I know a lot of women do that out here. Like you said, there's a lot of houses that are cold. Depends where they live, but... It's been a Canadian thing for a long, long time. I personally have never, ever met a woman that's ever done it with the socks. But, that's been around for a long time. It's a French-Canadian thing, I believe. I'm not sure.
No, because every woman is different. I'm sorry, I'm sticking up for you. You know, every woman is different. You know, some of us freeze on really bad, cold days, and some of us don't. So we all don't wear socks to bed. You know,
Nora.
I've done that once in 47 years.
And it ain't a French thing.
Well, I'm not sure, but all I'm thinking is, man,
not
it's time
I'm
to
French,
make.
But
it's time to make love. Take the socks off, eh? You know what I mean.
Well,
you're not on the
naked
floor
in
no
bed
more.
Not wearing socks, but yeah.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Kitty Cat.
Hey, Kitty, how you doing, love?
Kitty
Cat, good,
yeah.
Right on. I'm glad you joined us. I'm glad you joined us.
Hey.
I said I'm glad you joined us.
You guys know each other, by the way?
I believe I do. I think she's on the support group thing.
How far away are you guys from each other?
I'm not sure where Kitty Cat is.
I'm in Quebec.
Oh, you're in Quebec. Okay.
Yeah.
Which part?
Montreal.
Montreal, Laval, La Salle, or what?
À Montréal.
Oui, à Montréal. Yeah, she's right in downtown there, Quebec, in Montreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how far away from you?
Oh, I'm totally, I'm in Alberta, I'm west. She's totally east from me, so she's about 2,300 miles, roughly.
Okay, so my
knowledge
of Canada
is...
That'd
be about a 2-day drive.
Oh, it's a beautiful ride, man, from Alberta all the way to Quebec. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Quebec is all going to be like parlez-vous français? And is that correct? Are they more French and English?
What,
okay.
What was that, Bill?
Learning.
Okay. We're still on the air.
French is an interesting language. When I'm in Paris,
yeah.
If we're there for a week, I can read the walls, I can read signs, but, of course, everybody in Paris speaks too damn fast. I can't get it out. So.
Yeah, see, I was born in Paris, and then we moved to Quebec when I was 3, and then after that, straight to Detroit, Michigan. But yeah, no, Paris, man. But even if you know you're French and you haven't been to Europe, you better listen.
Yes.
Because they speak. I thought I spoke at 300 miles an hour. These guys are kicking 800 miles an hour. I catch myself going, whoa, 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 can you repeat that, please? And I write it, translate it, speak it. I've lost some over the years, but I can go anywhere. I can tag any women with fucking socks on. No problem.
I got to call my socks.
And they always say, mon Dieu.
I said, with my Harley Davidson motorcycle, my California license plate, Europe has been wonderful to me.
And
absolutely
you're the only
wonderful
one who's getting women with socks on.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to try one of those. Easy riding, I guess, eh?
Well, you know, before you die, the bucket list, right?
That's right. Exactly. You know, you got to go for the socks. You know, pancakes, eggs, a little bit of French syrup on there, woman with a pair of socks, I'd be one happy guy.
Surprise, we've had Canadian girls calling up and yelling, saying they all wear socks tonight. Nobody's wearing socks. Okay. Well,
no.
Hey,
I never, never, ever told you guys I wore socks.
Do you?
Hell
do
no.
You wear socks, love?
Nope.
Good girl.
Shit, if I'm getting in bed, I'm getting naked.
Goddamn right. If you had socks on, baby. If I was making love to you and you had socks on, they'd be gone. I'd be yanking them little puppies right off your feet.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, you're not going to have a good massage with socks on, okay? If you're going to do it right or don't fucking do it. You know what I mean? You got to test all the boundaries, you see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
If you're going to get naked and play, fucking strip, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, no, I'm not putting my socks on.
This is a great show. I love this motorcycle.
See what you started, Bill? You started something over here, brother.
We're talking about motorcycle events and popular, and God knows, every show's got its own life and reality, boys and girls.
No,
we have
fantastic.
No idea what's...
Yeah.
You know,
fantastic.
And the worst thing is, Art is missing the show. This is the show that Art would laugh at and say it was my fault, and it's not. Sorry.
Yeah, Art and I were together for a funeral a while back.
Oh, well, yeah.
John
Dell.
Yeah, it was I gave a little eulogy, and Art showed up. It was kind of a. It was all right. I used to tell everybody I go to nothing but weddings and funerals to see my friends, but I got to tell you, I seem to go to more funerals. I don't seem to be married anymore, so it makes me appreciate those friends I got left, and it makes me appreciate the fact I get to meet new friends.
Well, you know, Bill,
Yep. Just
like you guys are talking about the socks and you can't give a massage and anything and all that stuff like that, you know what I do? This is what I do.
Oh, geez, do we want to know what you do?
Oh,
you
I want to hear
all
that.
Kinds of you can do all kinds of things. It's like, put your mind to it.
What goes on in someone's bedroom is none of my business, Bill.
Okay.
Then don't make me pay for their supplies that are constantly.
Oh, but pay for this. Oh, God. Oh. You'd be upset because...
Hey, Bill.
He's not just an amateur pervert. He is registered.
Yeah.
Been doctor approved.
Doctor approved.
Hey, Bill, I got a little joke for you.
Talk to me, please.
What's the difference between a funeral and a wedding?
Well, I know my clothes are the same. They're all black. Hang on a second. I'm always on the Harley Davidson. That's the same. I got my black cowboy boots on for both. Shit, I don't know.
They
look
music.
The same to me. What's the difference?
The music. Shit, I've been to better funerals than I have weddings, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah. You know what's kind of sad is I was at a 81 wedding a while back, and everybody got up and said the same thing. He was my friend. Next guy get up. He taught me a lot. Everybody kept going on and on and on, saying the same thing because no one knew what to say.
Yeah.
He's my brother. I loved him. I was sitting next to this one chapter. And I leaned over and I told a friend of mine, I said, if you go first, I'm going to get up there and bring two hookers. And I'm going to have them say what a great lay you were.
Did they have socks?
In the middle of the funeral, this red and white boy, he fell down laughing and laughing. And everybody's staring, so I tried to slide away from him. They actually dragged him out of the church. They said, man, you can't be like that. He's trying to blame me. Hey, said something quietly. It wasn't my fault he freaked out. But think about it. So many funerals are the same. And people don't know what to say. So all I'm going to tell everybody is just speak your heart. Just
exactly.
How you felt about the...
Exactly,
don't try to make
man.
Us...
That
he was
obviously,
my friend.
That person was obviously loved, respected, and people were hurt and lost about it. So when you fall into that scenario, you get fucked up inside. You know, it don't matter how much you love the guy. Sometimes you just can't say what you want to say, but it comes out anyways, you know. You can do a nice eulogy if you want, but the feelings that you have for that guy or for that sister are so embedded inside of you that you're going to keep that to yourself. You're going to say
yes.
your words. Everybody's happy about what you said. Everybody's comforted by what you said. But the love for that guy or that person, you take home with you, and you keep.
Well,
that.
You know what I'm. Yeah, what I'm gonna tell you is, you know what I want my last words to be, Bill.
Oh God! Oh God! Oh God!
No.
Oh yeah,
I left $1 million.
Shut up.
$1 million to who?
No. I left $1 million and then I'm gone.
Oh, that's it. Well, you know, actually, a friend of mine did pass away, and I owed him some money. And it was one of those strange times. I was in between money, and I didn't get a chance to pay him back. But I want to say right now for everybody, I want you to understand this. I walked up to that casket. I wrote him a check, and I put that check in the casket. Type of guy I am.
Right on. Right on. Good for you.
Did everybody understand what I just said?
Yes.
I put the check in the casket.
That's right.
Meaning I wouldn't. Oh, okay. We got it now. Think about that one. I'll come back to you. It's a joke. We all get it?
Yeah. You got a dry sense of humor sometimes.
Oh, that's a good
one. You know what? Say that.
It's a little more psychic.
No, I didn't mean that mean. Okay, let's not all talk at once.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's that uncomfortable silence. That big pause.
No. I didn't mean that in a mean way. You know,
we didn't.
To him or comment. Or a joke, I'm sorry.
I don't think
not at all.
I don't think the brothers took it that way.
I don't want to take all the airspace.
No, we're actually giving you guys time to vent. But
who needs to vent?
I don't need to vent. Just
fucking
<don't>
either. You know, some of the stuff you post on your wall, Cat, is funny as hell. I used to do stuff like that, and I would get people saying, what the F, or where I thought I was getting a
timeout. Nobody
says
shit
so.
To me about nothing.
Well, no, I get timeouts from my friends.
Nobody's ever said anything to me about it. But then again, if they don't like what I post on my wall, they just, they don't need
exactly.
to be there.
I tell people, if you don't like it, jump. I don't care.
That's exactly what
I
say. And if they don't jump, I just kick them the fuck off anyway.
That's how I am.
You know, a lot of people don't understand what my secret with women is. I'm going to share with you guys the big bulge in my pants.
Really?
My wallet.
Because, on Facebook, everybody is like 10 inches long.
They are.
And Bill
wanted us to
Everyone on the internet, everybody's got 10 inches and more. Jesus.
I know.
Listen, everybody. That
were true. Wouldn't all women be happy? What a ride that would be.
Let me get back for a second, everybody. Ready to put on hold. We have a friend calling in from, I don't know, I think it's Hollywood or something, but I know it's Opal 714. She's got some important information she wants to share and ask Screwdriver and I or something.
Right,
Opal, you're live. Say hello to everybody. Tell us where you're from. What do you want to talk about, dear?
Well, hello, everybody. How you guys doing? Hi, Phil. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Let me give you the rundown, Opal. We got Riel in Canada. We got
Kitty Cat. She's naked.
Nora's in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm
naked.
She's laying on her bed naked.
We're on our beds.
Well, I'm
actually... Be comfortable, Opal, and jump
right
in the chair that you want to share with us.
Okay, well, I'm actually not naked right now. I'm actually down at the Westminster Lanes in Westminster, California. I'm sitting here right now with a gentleman. His name is Sergio. He is a director and a screenwriter. And what I wanted to give you guys a heads up on is his film, is going to include some bikers. And so what we're going to be doing, his film is a paranormal action horror film. And what we're going to do here in about 3 weeks is we're going to put out a casting call. And what we want to do is have for the LA County area, we're going to have a casting call at Lifestyle Cycles. And then I would like, with your permission, Bill, to, like, the following week schedule a casting call for the San Diego County and Southern California area down at your place in Oceanside.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be fantastic, yes.
Awesome. Wonderful. Now, what Sergio does is Sergio owns Party by Numbers, and myself representing Biker Information Guide magazine, I was a judge for a vocal contest, and it went over really good, and he kind of showed me this script, and you know what? We're actually going to be looking at a couple people tonight to have them read, and one of them is our buddy Spike, and then I've got Joni and Ratchet and a couple people that are coming in to meet with the director. He's sitting right here. You want to say hi?
Yes, we do. Please say hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. Nice to talk to you. I'm really excited meeting Opal. She's been nothing but a godsend to me and getting this project going.
She can cut a lot of corners and make it a lot easier on you. She has a lot of good contacts all over the place.
You know, she does, and she's very pleasant and easy to get along with also.
Oh, he's so full of shit.
Wow.
I'm such a hard-ass, anal retentive bitch.
Well,
but you
nice
are.
No, anyway, on that note, plus, you know, I've been working with a gentleman. His name is Neil Sutton. He owns Neil's Music here in Huntington Beach, California. And one of the things I want to do is we're going to be using them on a couple projects and also along with the film for soundtracking. Well, we had a conversation, and what we want to do is we'd like to get together with the Wounded Warriors and the Diabetes Association, like for the BAD, and also more kids in honor of Amber Du Bois, who was abducted on 3 years ago on February 13th, and do a live outdoor venue concert featuring two tribute bands, a Nickelback tribute band and an Aerosmith tribute band. And we'd like to try to, you know, get some vendors and some people involved and everything, but we'd like to do that down in the Oceanside area, you know, kind of in your neck of the wood there, boys.
Boy, that sounds like a hell of a project. Good for you.
Yeah, and that's...
I'm going to have to do a little research. I don't know if I get an amphitheater or some type of a theater. You're talking about numbers. You know, you don't want to talk little...
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to do a little research for that to see what I can do. You know, by the way, you'd mentioned some of the people you already talked to. You know, when you hear the word Cher, you automatically know who we're talking about, Sonny and Cher. When you're hearing the great person, Madonna, we know these are people with one name. We're talking about Whitney, of course, Whitney Houston. These superstars, they have one name. Who's the superstar you mentioned with one name? Did you say Spike? You even need two names anymore? It's just... Spike's going to be in the movie? Wow, I knew him when he had two names.
We're going to talk to him tonight about it. In one way or another, I'd like to have him, if he chooses not to do the role, but there's a part in the film that fits him to a T, I'm telling you. It fits him to a T from the looks, the build, everything. I mean, and, you know, and I mean, he's a very good individual and welcoming personality. It would be a pleasure for him to work on the project with us.
Now, do you have like a website or email address or something if people are interested?
Right. He's going to tell you his website.
Sure. It's
okay.
www.partybynumberentertainment.com.
Party by numbers.
No S, just Party by Number Entertainment.
Okay.
And what that is that's the website, that's for his company. And this film, he wrote this screenplay actually years ago, back in 1992. And, no, he went to try to work on the project, but unfortunately an individual that was working on the project with him passed away. And so he put it on a back burner for a while. And, you know, then he introduced it to me, and he's already been working on it prior to introducing it to me. And right away, you know, I said, you know, why'd you give this to me? Because it has bikers in it. Then I read it. Then I had to tell him, you know, the bikers and demons, and I got bikers that die in this, dude. I'm not cool with that. But it's really cool. I mean, the script is really good. And actually, there's actually a couple of the bikers are the heroes, and that's what I want. So, you know, it's a really good script. It also involves Native American. It's present, set in present day, but then it goes back to, you know, like a dream sequence, past history, and it goes through this Native American storyline into it, and it all blends together for a phenomenal outcome. I was really impressed with it. So I'll make sure you get a peek at it, Billy. Bill?
Actually, I do want to say, and I don't want you to repeat this at all, for my good friend Spike, another man who's well-educated, another man who is heavy, heavy into the motorcycle lifestyle, a man who's got martial art training up the gazoos, a man who speaks softly. I don't want to say carries a big stick, but this man takes care of himself. He has tremendous confidence, and another man who I'm very proud to say is my friend. Now, Opal, I don't want to repeat any of that stuff I just said in front of that Spike, all right?
No,
between
I'll just tell
all of us listening
earlier.
Tonight, not...
I'll just, yeah, no, the casting call is open to everybody. So, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, like we talked about, you know, I hate to say this, but I don't know if you're going to get a bigger trailer than Spike, dude. I don't know about that.
Wait a minute. I'm not going to be in any movie unless I get a bigger trailer. Room. You know, this face, let me tell you something why I've not been successful in films. I think there's been a blacklist. I think people like Tom Cruise, people like Brad Pitt, they have tried to hold me back because some people say I'm just much too pretty for films. I'm not sure if that's true or not. Just telling you, that's why I've been held back, I think.
Yeah, and Phil, I really want your woman to, I really like for her to be a part of something. I mean, like I said, we have, there's a lot of different things and have, you know, for so many, there's so much heart in our community, in our biker community. And it doesn't matter, you know, in what line of work we have for our personal occupations or together as a community coming together to aid and assist in one area or the other, our heart not only shines through, it emanates from each and every one of the people that I've come in contact with throughout the years. And that's something that's very important. Yeah, I mean, no matter what type of film it is and everything, that heart's going to be felt throughout production and throughout meeting individuals and networking and also the overall outcome and the feel of it. So it's all about a positive outcome. And I know that, you know, the heart's involved in working with the nonprofits and, you know, moving forward for the common good is everything that we've all been trying, you know, individually and as a whole, and that's why you guys mean so much to all of us.
Opal, how can we get an email over here so we can send this information out to everybody? Can you help us on that?
Yeah, right now, right? Sergio. Here, why don't you fill them in on all this, Sergio?
Please.
Okay, very good. The well, you know the website, but the contact information is party by number LLC at hotmail.com.
All right.
And we are an equal biker opportunity company. That's right.
Party by Numbers LLC.
No S.
Yeah, no S. Party by
Numbers. Oh, can you send that to email to Screwdriver later so we put that in the file also?
Yes, I will. And then also, what I'll do is when we settle on the definite date and everything after communicating with yourself, Bill, and also finishing up with my negotiations with JR Apparent Lifestyles, we'll send you a template and the graphics so you can put it on your website. Also, announcing the casting call.
Sergio, you understand that I'll be counting the lines. So whatever Spike is going to say, how many lines, I'll be counting my lines too. You really don't want him and I getting a tit for tat here, okay?
I fully understand. Yes.
Sergio,
in the dressing room, I swear to God, I'll be out with my tape measure. I got to make sure it's right, all right?
Oh, God.
All right, you guys. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of events and activities that are coming up here pretty soon. And I'll keep you guys abreast to what information I have, and we'll coordinate together, and we'll make sure that we get that word out there. How are things going for you, boys?
Okay, what are you doing Saturday?
What am I doing Saturday?
Yeah. going to go up to the birthday party?
What are you in Saturday?
We're thinking about running up to the party. If we can, if we coordinate all this, we went up to Hollywood. It's going to be, well, I can catch with Philip, I guess, later where it is and all that.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll just, I'll talk.
I think that gives chance to talk in person. I'm sure we'll, Spike will be up there. I'm sure some of the guys will be up there.
Yeah. I'll touch base with you guys, if not later tonight, or I'll look on it online and stuff, or I'll call you tomorrow.
All right, then. All right.
Okay. Well, we're going to be seeing
you. All right, Sergio, sounds like you got a big venture. You got a big person helping you there. Not that I didn't say that she was big. She's got a lot of potential, and she's got a big ball. That girl just works hard.
Oh, she yes, she does. I've known her for a little while, but I can already see how hard she works. And, yeah.
We've been at some major events, and she's truly like a tank. She's like a juggernaut going in there, blah, 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 blah. So,
yeah, she doesn't like it. She'll punch you in the throat. I know that for a fact.
Well, Sergio, my name's Real. I'm from Canada, and I'll tell you, I wish you nothing but the best on your project, and you're going to do a great job.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot. I've been working on this for a long time, and it's finally all clicking together, and it looks like it's on our way.
So, right on, bro. Like I was saying earlier, I'm in Canada in the Rocky Mountains, and they do a lot of films out here, but it's always about mines and cowboy movies. I walk by, they look and they love my hair and everything, but I never get picked because they all want short-haired guys. I cut my hair twice and I gave it to cancer kids. My hair is all the way down to my back, all the way down to my belt. I'll give it to cancer kids, no problem, but I will not cut my hair to do a movie. Never.
No
goddamn way.
That's who you are, and that's you know, there's so many, like you said, there's so many short-haired people.
I'm the only long-haired guy in the Crow's Nest Pass. The only guy.
Oh, really?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. 6'4", 250, long hair all the way down to my belt. And, you know, they always ask me for a picture. Oh, can I have a picture? Can I have a picture to put it in my file? Well, make a goddamn movie. You got about 10 pictures already. So, Sergio, come to Canada and make a goddamn movie, will you?
That's on my next list, the sequel to this one.
Well, I'll tell you, if you do, please get a hold of Phil. He'll give you my phone number and address and everything.
No, absolutely.
Right on. You got a home when you come down here and everything. No trailer. Move right in, and then we'll take care of it.
Very good. And I heard that the cost to film up there is pretty inexpensive also.
Yeah, it is, actually. Like I said, I'm in the mountains. The closest city is 3 hours from here, which is Calgary, Alberta. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's nice and recluded. All you got is wildlife running around, bears, cougars, deers, assholes once in a while, but you shoot them. Let the deers and everything roam free, but other than that, I'd love to be in a movie, goddammit. I always have, my whole life.
Well, we got some women to do some naked shots. They're available. Nora's available for naked movie shots. And,
you got women with socks on out here, man. It's fabulous.
I don't wear socks.
In the movie that there's a couple topless scenes in the movie. So
yeah, you can make a movie called. You can make a movie called.
Oh no, my boobies are way too small for that.
It's socks.
But I used to think just cougars in those mountains.
Oh, they're nasty, man. I'll tell you. You don't walk around free without your bear spray and a 9mm or something, because little slingshots that the Indians used to use years ago, forget it. Okay? The animals are starting to rebel, man.
Yeah, we have to have a competition. Which one are fierce? Are the cougars here in OC or the cougars in your mountains?
Yeah, good point, eh? Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, well, nice to meet you, everybody, and I will be in touch, and you guys, we'll get the word out and let everybody know, and we'll send all that information to you guys, and looking forward to meeting up with some of you sooner and some of you eventually.
Well, good luck to you.
Okay, great. Have a good night.
Okay,
all right, Sergio, hopefully you take care, and I'll see you guys in person, and Philip and I'll sit down for a meeting somewhere. Okay, good night, everybody. Not everybody. Good night, Opal, I guess. Good night, Sergio.
Good night, you guys.
Good night,
thanks so much.
Good night, and you guys be safe out there. Bye-bye.
You take care,
Sarah. You too. Good night.
Good night.
Well, guys, what do you think? You girls ready for some nude shots? Or,
sure.
Nora, is that all right with you?
Sure.
I know Rial's ready for nude shots.
Oh, God,
he's ready
yeah.
for new trust.
I'm ready to just bring it all out, man. No problem.
I'm not shy. I'm happy. We're all ready for this.
This may be the one break.
Yeah. I used to
we
bounce a lot.
We all make one movie,
bars.
We retire. You
bounce.
Ready for this, guys?
Yeah.
Movie, we all retire.
Yeah. Like you guys are familiar with the Hart Foundation and all them guys. Bret Hart and everybody, Anvil Hart. Well, they're really good friends of mine, and I used to bounce out all the bars, French Maid, all the strip joints in Calgary, and when it got really boring, there was no fucking scraps or nothing, I'd be a stripping bouncer. It was hilarious, man. You kick back, you start stripping for people, people were throwing money at me, man. Of course I'm going to do it. It was a blast.
Nora, if he stripped for you, would you throw some money at him, please? Nora?
It depends.
Oh,
it depends on the move, eh?
Got to make sure it's 10 inches.
Well, it might be 8 3/4 by now, you see. You know, I'm not going to lie. You start shrinking at a certain age, you see. But
well, you stay in that cold weather. This is probably no good for you.
Well, maybe I should start wearing some fucking socks.
See, the requirements have to be like a construction working hat, you know, the belt, and then I'll throw.
Oh,
there you go.
Well.
15 for the YMCA, right?
Oh, Lord.
No, for being working class guy.
Well, we definitely are that out here. No problem there.
Yep.
Wow, this turned out to be a fantastic show, like usual.
Well, you know, if Bill dresses up to be a priest, then we're really going to have to throw him money.
Whoa! Got to
no,
swing
I didn't
that
mean
thing
that bad.
Swing that puppy.
I'll have to give you guys a report
on,
next week.
It's dress-up time.
Well, I can stir my drink with it.
The meeting, what's going on. We'll try to keep everybody in the loop, too.
Yeah.
Philip and I were talking about that. We'll let you know, what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. I got to tell you, I've had a bad rap also. Every time I am in a movie, the last one I was in, I was the white supremacy leader in a prison. Before that, I was in a bike club. Before that, I was a lumberjack. You know, that's not the roles I want.
What
I know
want,
the
Bill?
Roles I want.
What do you want,
they
Bill?
Keep in here and, you know, read all these gangsters. I don't want to do that.
What do,
much,
what do you want to do?
I want to be the lead. I'm just way too pretty for those other roles, you know?
Do you want to get killed off in the movie or to live right to the end?
Well, I don't know. We got a porno star coming out next couple of weeks.
Oh, God. I don't know. You want to say this?
Oh, there you go. All you need is a pole dancer.
Oh.
Well, goddamn. That's going to be a hell of a show.
No, I said all you need is a pole dancer.
Yeah, I'm
well,
here, man.
For all my friends, I want to be very, very honest. I've heard this many, many times. I have the perfect face for radio.
Yeah, you're pretty handsome, buddy.
For radio, yes, I am. I've had a hard life, you understand. I'm misunderstood, you know.
Oh, aren't
I have
we
a hard
all?
Life, too.
All good people are misunderstood, brother.
There we go.
Beauty isn't the eye of the beholder.
Are you going to tell
yes.
a little bit about that? Are you going to? I'm not going to say nothing. I'm asking
well,
you. Are you going to say something?
Well, I was.
Hang
I,
on
yeah,
to your socks.
I was going to go into it, but Bill and I were invited to participate in a 40-guy gangbang.
In Hollywood.
Well, damn.
In Hollywood.
In Hollywood. And we kind of kicked it around. We talked to a couple of our friends. We're looking for volunteers, but everybody that talks shit says, yeah, I can do it. We don't think they can do it.
It's kind of in front of a lot of people, a lot of cameras.
There you go.
It's that easy performing.
No, that'd be
well,
a little,
no,
that'd,
I mean, some people can. I mean,
yeah,
some
that'd
people
be a little different.
Just block it. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Block out. What's
oh, I don't know what you mean. You know. What do you? How do you know so much about?
I don't know. I'm amazed now. I'm finding out.
Holy
no,
shit.
What I mean is.
It's your story,
you know,
Nora. You tell anyway.
No. It's okay. You know, I'm not shy. But what I'm saying is, Like, if there's something going on and you seriously want to black it out, tune it out, people know how to do that. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether it be a job, whether if it be, you know, if it would be in regards to in the industry, whatever. You know, you just want to block. It's not that hard to block things out.
Just look at it like you're
Let me tell you guys, if I can,
about abnormal sex, okay? Anything that you do and you don't like and I make you do it again, that's abnormal sex. To me, everything else is experimental. And I want to repeat that. If I'm forcing you to do something you don't want to do, that's abnormal sex. Other than that, I think everything should be consenting and experimental. How's everybody feel about that?
I agree 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So are you going to do that gangbang or not? You haven't said nothing
yet. No.
Come on, Phil. Talk to us, Phil.
Come on, they want to hear, brother.
No.
Come on.
No, I no.
Come on, bro. You can't let us down now, man.
Dude, jump on a plane, be here. You can be the number one guy. I'll set you up with her perfectly.
You do want to be the number one guy, not the number 40th guy, by the way.
Yeah, talk about sloppy seconds, man. Holy shit.
Okay, well, Bill, what about you?
March,
why don't you
get involved
in the adventure?
Well, you know, that's it. I'm on the plane. I'm coming down.
Somebody has a question for Bill. Ask Bill what he called the girl that keeps the porn guys hard between shots. She had a title.
Oh, does anybody know? I will. It's called a fluffer.
A fluffer.
A very special friend of mine came back to visit me, and she said she's working in Hollywood in the film industry. And I said, great. What are you doing? She goes, I'm a fluffer. And I had no idea.
Yeah, and that's the terminology.
And they're changing. That's her job, is to keep the man ready to perform. It's called a fluffer, girls.
Right.
And she makes the money. Now, on the negative side, she has no dates. Nobody wants to go out with her. And she doesn't really have any really good sex because no sex ever happens between her. She just keeps the men ready.
Yeah.
Sad job, lots of money. Call the fluffer. Where did this come from?
I don't know. It was a question.
A friend of mine just that knows me and knows my friends wrote that in, so I'd share that with everybody. So.
Yeah. Well, it's either.
Well, some of us already knew what a fluffer is.
Yeah, it's either a fluffer or a penis. What the hell was I going to say? Penis pamperer, you know, because that's what they do. They'll just keep you hard until you're ready for your shot.
And how do you know about this, sir?
Yeah.
Because
what
actually, I did a porno when I was 24.
I think he did that in a past life. No.
Yeah, I did a porno when I was 24. I got out
and
of the
what pen. Was your role in the film, if you don't mind saying?
Oh, man, I was fucking everything.
He wasn't a fluffer.
Yeah, no, I got out of the penitentiary. I was 21, so believe you me, I was a pretty horny motherfucker when I got out. And, I had the opportunity. It's called Do You Want to Touch It? And, it was quite an experience.
Well, again, anything to me that's experimental is one thing. Anything that's forcing something on somebody else, that's abnormal sex. You draw the line.
Yeah.
Be open-minded about everything. But if your partner's not willing, don't do it. Or get another partner. I'm pretty basic about life here.
So
definitely.
Take it on Thursdays where this is going to be like an open, we're going to learn from Bill.
Can I tell you something tonight? Listen to me. I want everybody to hang on one second.
Call
in tonight. I was supposed to have an author, a theologian, and I'm not going to say his name now because he's definitely carried out there. This is a man that wrote several books on Christianity, and he wanted to spend some time discussing with me about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the powers of three into one. I got his book right here. He and I were supposed to discuss this on the air. Somehow, I think he listened. He's not coming on the air tonight. He's not coming on the air ever again, maybe. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
I don't think we scared him.
I never know, Nora.
I didn't do it. Don't point at me. Art always does. It's not my fault.
Oh, I know for a fact that we lost the guest that was from down south, Bill, with the task force.
Oh, okay, then. We're not being monitored now. They just couldn't take it with them. Well, to my religious fanatic, theologian, philosopher, gentlemen, you're still welcome to come on the air. Now, actually, we got to say, last week on Thursday, we had a minister who called in, and he had quite a good discussion with a former Hells Angel.
Oh, right, with the Christian Club, yes.
And they were agreeing on an awful lot. And they were saying something like, wouldn't it be great if all the bikers could come together? It was a very good talk last night between one of my East Coast cousins and this minister over here, out here. But this is a different minister that wanted to get involved, but I don't know. Once you hear Nora's voice, though, it's just kind of hard not to be tempted, you know?
What? I didn't do nothing.
I think that's why the minister wouldn't come on the air. Just hearing your voice. Trying to visualize you laying there naked on the bed. I think he's just probably saying, probably taking a shower right now.
Yeah, okay.
And I heard those Canadian girls, they just, you know, so he probably couldn't take
they're
it.
They like their side. No, can't.
Oh, Bill. Just.
Matt, are you still with us?
Mm-hmm. You betcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, that was your time to come in and say, I don't wear my socks.
I had to leave the phone for 2 seconds. My pit bull is losing it. There's something wild out there, and so I had to go out there and calm her down real fast.
Hey, Philip wants to share something with everybody. Hang on a second, please.
Yeah,
that's fine.
You know, I just got this sent to me, and it's kind of goes along the lines since we touched on all these subjects tonight, Bill. A prostitute with her hand in her panties is self-employed. Did you know that?
Okay, I got that.
Yeah.
A vigorous masturbation session is called hand-to-gland combat.
Hand-to-gland combat, okay.
6, women screw with minds.
Oh, that's a fact, Jack.
Not all.
Women might be able to fake orgasms, but men can fake a whole relationship.
Oh!
Well, men can do that. Most women can't, maybe. I don't know.
Few women admit their age. Few men act it.
That's me. That's me. I can't act my age.
That is so true, eh?
Oh, I'm never afraid to tell anybody how old I am.
Me either. I'm 40 and damn proud of it.
I'm 47. Don't look like it.
You're 40 years old, you speak French, and you don't wear socks. Are you married, my love?
Hell no.
Huh?
Can you...
I ain't married.
Are you married?
Can you cook?
No.
Well, we
no?
got... Well, so
no.
We got...
Okay, we're starting the dating show on Thursdays now, Bill. Let's see the reviews for that one next week.
Yeah, we can keep this conversation going for the following week.
Okay, here's the deal. We got Nora's in Chicago.
Chicago.
We got Kitty Cat in Montreal. We got Rial up in the mountains in Canada. We've got Marion is in where, Vista?
North County, San Diego, California.
Right. We got Old Bill, he's in...
North Carolina.
Okay.
And Keith Mundy, I'm not sure where he's at. He must be from Canada.
Yeah, he's actually a friend of mine. I got involved in with your show for you. Good guy.
Hmm.
And then we had the boys in Sunny Cali.
Yeah, and you know what? We have nobody from Europe called in tonight.
No,
nobody from England called in.
Marion says she was on the phone for quite a while, but nobody seemed to be able to hear me, so I hung up. But
oh,
I didn't
we're
try.
Sorry. What's
well, she didn't. She didn't press number one because I didn't see her in the queue.
Well, I'm going to ask everybody because Marion's listening to us, but she can't come in. Maybe we can get Marion on the phone next Thursday if we ask her again.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
She's a good person,
yeah.
And she rides her bike pretty hard. Anybody goes down to Mexico with me and back a couple occasions, that's a pretty good person.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
She's a very solid person. I'm very proud of you, honey, if you can listen. Very proud of you.
Well, the calls up here, you know, you got to respect the fact that these are strong, independent women. And to me, I'm going to say this right now, women as assets or liabilities. That's how I feel about it. A strong woman is going to pick me up, make me stronger. A weak woman is just going to drag me down.
That's
so
a fact.
I look for women. I look for
beauty. Only the strong survive.
I want strong women. That's what I
yeah.
want around me.
Exactly.
Only the strong survive.
Yeah. That's same with me, Bill. I mean, a strong woman, man, is the best thing you can have. She supports you. She knows what you're about. She's the same way as you. You can't go wrong.
Yep.
You can't
but
go wrong, man. I mean, now you're looking at something. Now you're looking at something that is going to steer you the right way. I don't care if you're happy right now, alone, single, whatever. You meet somebody like that, your eyes are going to clash and everything is going to work out for you.
But like I said, that's how it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Boys and girls, we're running out of time. We've just barely got about seconds left. So I have to say at this time, I want to thank everybody, all of our friends.
Oh, and thank you, Bill and Phil, for having us come and just thank ourselves.
Exactly. Thank
and
you,
and
to
hear people. No. Whoops.
Back on Tuesday as well as Thursday.
Oh, skip Tuesday. Just see me on Thursday.
We're going to, I'm going to let Bob Seger.
Yeah, you know what's funny,
Bill.
I'm
going to say goodnight to everybody in that. Let
Bob Seger.
Well,
what's funny, Bill, is when you're here, it's funny. When it's Phil and I, it's serious.
Really?
Oh, trust
me,
Bill.
I'm serious.
Yeah. She's not lying, man. It certainly is. It works out that way.
Outstanding.
So we just have to fill you in and, you know, give you a little break and, you know,
let
your hair hang out.
And we're running out of time, so ladies and gentlemen, one more time, Bob Seger. Hey, thank you all for being my friend.
Hey, no problem.
You're very welcome. Have a
good
night. And make sure you
eat. Good night, everybody.
Take care. Hey, salut, ma petite.
Salut.
East of Omaha.
Now we're going to be singing on his show,
oh,
too.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm going to be singing that all night now. Thanks a lot, Bill. Not before. Où tu te restes? Tu restes à Montréal, oui?
Sing them if you know the words, boys and girls. Sing them if you know the words.
Oh, I've been singing, Bill.
Riding 16 hours and there's nothing else
nothing to
do.
Yeah, I've seen him 3 times, man. Fantastic. Oh, yeah.
When is Montreal? Population.
On the road again. Here I am. Up on stage, here I go, singing song again, here I go, turn the page. That's a fact. What a beautiful tune.
Mm. I love
that
song.
Get your head straight, everybody.
Thank you. dancing in your head.
Smoke the day's last cigarette, remembering what she said.
Anyways, I'm going to go, guys. Enjoy yourselves, and thanks a lot, Bill, Phil, Nora.
All right, now.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.